Matthew chapter 6 as we continue on our study on the red letters, the words of Christ and what he says out of the book of Matthew. And boys, it's been a challenging. Look in the words of what Jesus himself has said to us. I've really gotten through so much of the fluff that's around. We've been talking about the Lord looking at our hearts. We talked about give us pure, clean hands and give us pure hearts, right? Lord, know my heart. In a world today where we're bombarded with everything else, Lord, help me to serve you, love you, Lord. You know my heart. Know my motivations for all that I do. And last week we looked at the idea of prayer, of that communication with God. And it's so important to be in contact with him. And prayer is sort of that two-way communication. As I talk to him, he speaks to us, and he changes us through prayer. Not only does he answer our requests, but he changes us and changes our hearts in the midst of these things. And now we go turn around in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Jesus really starts talking about not just a matter of our heart condition, but really who do we serve, right? Who is on the throne of our life? If you were to take your life and list down everything that you love, everything's involved in your life, if you were to take that and then slowly start crossing things off, you'd probably end up with a handful of things. You probably have God in there, and you probably have maybe your church. I hope your church would be in that list. And, you know, your spouse, your children, maybe your job. And then if you whittle those away. When you're all said and done, what would be the last thing on your list? And of course, God wants that place, that throne of our life. That God wants that throne and for him alone to have it, not to share it. You know, the throne only has one seat. And God and God alone needs to be on that. And I know in my life, I wrestled, I grew up in church. You guys know this. I grew up in church. And at the same time to graduate, I'm trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And so, you know, I figured out I'd go down to, I was going to go to college. I was going to be a science teacher. I was like, oh, well, I have to go to a Christian college because I had to add, you know, because I was a Christian, so I had to have, you know, Christian college. And I'm like, well, I'll be a science teacher, but I'll teach at a Christian school. And you know, I'll marry a Christian woman. And my whole idea was this tight sort of hyphenate. I was just going to take God and just kind of plug him on to all the things I wanted to do. And of course, I went down to Liberty University, good Christian school, started off my education to be a science teacher, and then everything kind of fell apart on me. And I was angry and mad at God. I had a friend out in Minnesota, and I said, hey, I'm going to go live with you. He says, come on out. So I got in my car and started heading across country. I was angry with God because my plans weren't working out. And I'm like, God, what else do you want? I've added you to my life. That was my thing. That's why I was upset. Ended up in New York where my sister was. She was attending a Bible school there. Next thing I know, I stopped and I never left. I ended up in college. Never did make it to Minnesota. And one day, now if you can picture this, I had a long dangly earring that I wore. Can you picture that? And that was just my rebellion. My wife would tell you I was just rebellious. And one day God just said, John, I want all of you. I want all of you. And it was there that I turned around and said, okay, God, I'm not adding you to my life. You are my life. And Lord, I want to serve you. And I'm turning it all over to you. And I think a lot of people are kind of like I was. And sometimes I still do that in my life. I just plug God on. And God is quick to remind me that he wants the throne and he wants it alone in our life. And Jesus starts bringing this issue in here. And what he does is he kind of looks at these different ways that indicate where our worship is going to. In three areas in which we tend to maybe put God and let him co-reign in our lives. Or sometimes we kick God off the throne altogether. Let's see if we're going to lose power here. But the first one, a good test, if you will, a good indicator of what you worship, of what's on the throne of your life, is what do you value? What do you value in your life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 starts off, "And do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And in here, he talks about this idea of what do I value? Do I value my stuff in this world? Where are my treasures? What are my precious things that I hold above all else? And he warns us here, look, our treasures should not be the temporary things of this world. All the things that we have in this world are temporary. Things break. Things rust. Yeah, I've been playing with rust on my vehicle. It's going to be a losing battle. Right? The time and energy we put in things of this world are just temporary. Actually, the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "Vanity of vanities," and he goes on and talking about all the things in his life. And one of the things he points out in the book of Ecclesiastes is that, look, you can spend your whole time building up your wealth, or building up your household, or building up and accumulating retirements. You can go through and all this, and when you die, it's left over, and it's left to people who didn't even do anything to get it, and they don't value it. Now, I like to think I am a collector. My wife calls me a pack rat. And I don't know what the difference is. I mean, I need to talk to an auctioneer, right? What's at the end? And so I've collected straight razors and old Gillette razors, and my wife just looks at me and shakes her head. I'd like to collect, you know, guns and cars, but I don't have the budget for that. So I have the budget for these smaller items. And so I probably have close to 100, 150 straight razors. I have, you know, all the stuff, the strops and hones. I have all the stuff that goes along with it. And I've spent probably more money than I should on those things. And I know my body won't even be in the grave. And there'll be a sign that says free beside the road, and it's going to be gone. She may not even wait that long. One of these days I come home and like, what happened? She goes, "Oh, I found new closet space." It's like, what did I do all my stuff? Wait a minute. It was all my valuable stuff. Actually, she said, a friend of mine in Arizona, I sent off a razor because I had it stored, I didn't store it right, and it's rusting. And so, you know. And none of you care a lick about this. I understand that. But these are things of value for me that I've collected, I've looked at, and all that. And it's going to go by the wayside. Right? Mark, how many auctions have you held of stuff that people thought were near and dear that goes on the auction block and isn't worth a whole lot of money? Right? But we invest so much in this temporal world. so much time and energy and things that will not last. As a Christian, we have a different perspective, or at least we should. John tells us in 1 John 2:17, he says, "The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." This world is passing away. It's all temporary. So lay up your stores in heaven of things that won't pass away. Things of true value. As Christians, we'll have to give an account for what we do with what we have. As a Christian, I believe that all that I have belongs to God. I'm just a steward. He just lets me borrow his stuff. And I'm going to be held account for what I do with it. Paul warns us. He says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust are well known in our conscience, that in here we will give an account." Now, I think sometimes as Christians we think, I don't have to give an account. Jesus paid for it all. Now that is true, and you will not have to give an account for your sin. We will have no place in the great white throne because Jesus paid for all our sins. But as Christians, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as a Christian, as a steward, what did we do with what we had? What do we do with it all? Do we waste it all on ourselves? Or we use it for how he wants us. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants us to enjoy what we have. Right? God has blessed us with more than we need. And God wants us to enjoy these things. You know, as any father, you know, Christmas is coming up. And so we're kind of like, "Oh, Lauren, what do you want for Christmas?" The other day, Amazon has gotten pretty smart now, you know, because it's all online. Now they have a catalog. So a toy catalog, which I remember the old Sears catalog. That's how old I am. And so she got the Amazon toy catalog, and she's flipping through and marking things. And as a father, I find great pleasure in giving her what she wants. Now, I don't give her everything she wants. Some things aren't good for her. Some of it I can't afford. But as a father, right, I want to give good things to my child. God wants us to give us good things to use, so there's no shame in that. But if that is what we're living for, then our eyes are off the goal. The Bible says, "For who much is given, much will be required." And at the end of the day, we talk about treasures that will last. It's only what is done for Christ that's going to last. Those are the eternal things. What have you done for God? The Bible warns us that in our lives we build upon the foundation, which is our salvation. We build this life and the deeds that we do. And Paul wraps it up this way. He says, "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." That all my treasures in my life are piled up and they're touched by the flame of God. All I've done for myself will wither away. And only those things I've done for God will last. And this is kind of a scary thought because I wonder how much is going to be left when my whole life is consumed. Will there be anything left? What kind of treasure have I stored up for eternity? You know, I can look at the stuff, my little treasures I have here on earth. But what have I done for God? Paul tells Timothy this. This is as for the rich in this present age. Charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Right? Those of you that God has blessed with riches, good for you. And God has given them for your enjoyment, and God has blessed you with that. But in you, don't become haughty of all the things I have done, because it's only by the grace of God that God has allowed you to do that. I remember talking to a gentleman, and he was emphatic. He goes, "What do you mean everything I have belongs to God? I've done this all myself." I said, God gave you the wealth, the knowledge, the ability. Serve him. It says, and they are to do what? Good. To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. Thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of what is truly life. To realize that the true riches are the good works, a generous spirit, and a sharing heart. Those are the things that's going to last. Those are the true treasures. I love that, storing up treasures for themselves. It's not what's in your bank account. It's the souls that you have touched for him that will last. So what we value is an indicator of what we worship, of what is on the thrones of our lives. Second one is, what is in your vision? The Bible says this, but Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6, this is the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And Jesus turns around and says, what do you set your sights on? What is it that catches your eye in this world of what you allow into your life? What's in your heart? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your heart. You know, we live in a world today with a lot of wickedness all around. And my heart breaks for the direction this country is going in. And I don't think anything breaks my heart more than what we're doing to our kids and teaching our kids. And we're pumping them and we're sexualizing them. And what we're doing is distorting them and exposing them to things that no one should be exposed to, and trying to tell them that this is normal and this is right. Because let me tell you something, Satan knows if he can pollute the heart, he pollutes the life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Paul puts it this way, set your minds on things above and not on the earth. What are the things you are looking at? What catches your eye that you allow into your life? Folks, we live where everything is at the touch of our fingers. We're bombarded with imagery and pictures that draw us in. You don't even have to look for it. You just spend any time on Facebook or any social media and the ads are just, whoa. In our house, we try to be very careful with the programming that we watch and we allow. And it's shocking that, you know, we'll turn around and I don't know what channel, we'll watch Little House on the Prairie. The girls in the house like Little House on the Prairie. Here's a good, wholesome TV show. And I am appalled at the commercials they plop in between this wholesome good show. It's like, hey, wait, don't you realize that I'm watching this show because of what it is, and you're bringing this garbage in that I don't want. They know. But they slip it in, and you see it. And once you see it, it gets caught in. Be careful. When I was a kid, we learned that real simple song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father, you guys know it, up above, is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, I don't think that's just a kid's song. Right? I'm an adult, I can handle it. No. The Bible says, be careful of what you would in and what you see. But also, it's interesting because not only is it what we let in, but also the eyes or the windows of the soul also reveals what we let out. And if you look at the good in this world, right? If your eye is good, if you look for good, guess what? You will find it. And sometimes in here, what happens is I'm so filled with the junk of this world that I'm just a miserable person, right? I mean, over a while, I've caught myself becoming more cynical as I get older. And then I start looking for the bad in things instead of looking for the good. And folks, that's a miserable way to live. And Lord, help me to see the good. You know, this last year with COVID and all that's going on, it would be so easy to slip into that depression. It'd be so easy to slip into seeing all the bad that's all around. You know, you're watching all the politics and you're watching all that and you're ready to pull your hair out. My forehead is getting higher and higher every year. Ah! It's easy to get in conversations where you're just tearing down. And not lifting up. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, for a broken spirit dries up the bone. Lord, cheer my heart up. And how all of a sudden what I see around me will change. My focus will change. Luke, Jesus says this, this is a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what? Good. Folks, if the joy of the Lord is in us, then it is our strength. And it will encourage us, and we can be encouragement to others, that in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation, we can see the hand of God and rejoice, lift up our spirits and praise him in the middle of the storm. We see this Paul and Silas, who are out preaching the gospel, who were thrown in prison, who were beaten and bruised and cast in, and yet in the middle of the night, they were singing songs unto the Lord. How does that happen? They didn't look at their chains. They were looking at their Savior. Right? Peter was told to come out onto the water, and the waves and the sea were tossing all about. The wind was frightful, and yet Jesus says, come. And as long as Peter's eyes were on the Lord, Peter walked on the water. But when Peter's eyes got onto the storm, he went down like a rock. Oh, Lord, that's so true in my life. Lord, fill me with your joy. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And renew a right spirit within me, David's saying. Change my heart and what I put in. Lord, help me to see your goodness around me. And all these things. Finally, brethren, Paul told the Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, What are things that are noble? What are things that are just? What are things that are pure? What are things that are lovely? What are things of good report? If there is any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. Lord, change my thoughts. Help me to focus on you. You know, it is easy to criticize. Right? It's easy to complain. I remember John Maddox would always say, he goes, it's just as easy to build someone up as it is to tear them down. So I might as well say something nice. That's not a bad philosophy. Lord, use me to be a vessel of blessing to those around me. And through that, Lord, change me so I'm not miserable. You know what? I don't want to be a miserable old man. I don't. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be cynical. I don't want to be these things. Lord, fill me with your joy. And Jesus says, look at me. Look at that again. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Focus on these things. Praise up your kids, not tearing them down. Look on the best of your spouse, not on the negative. Look at the joys that's in your life and not the bad. And I'll tell you, it will adjust our attitudes. And we can do that because God is on the throne of our lives. Here are the indicators of who we worship or who's on the throne. What we value. What's in our vision? The last one is what you venerate. I had to have V's in here, so I had to fix a fancy V word. And that just means the worship. Who do we worship? You can say, well, that's easy. I worship God. You know what? It's not quite that easy sometimes. The Bible says this, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon was an old god for wealth. It became just synonymous with wealth. You can't love the things of this world and God. You got to love one more. And what's on the throne in our lives? Paul told Timothy, for the love of money. Now notice what it says here. It doesn't say money. It says what? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For with it some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Folks, do you know how many people have lost their faith or turned away from the faith for the riches of this world? How many celebrities and singers who started off singing their praises to God had sold themselves to this world and turned their faith because of the wealth and value and fame? In our lives, this materialism can take such a hold of us. Years ago, we had a missionary who came out, but he was pastoring a small little church in the Philippines, this little tiny island. And he came to the States, and he was showing us the slides, and these folks really don't have much of anything. And someone from the congregation asked the question, he said, what is the biggest struggle among the people there? He goes, materialism. And that kind of struck us off, because we think of that's an American thing, right? Right? We're so used to having so much. We want the latest and greatest. For years, we had an old CRT TV. You know, those, remember the big, huge block TVs? And everyone we knew was getting the fancy, thin TVs. And our TV would not die. You know, I'd give it a little whack, and it would start to get a little darker, and on back you could adjust the brightness, so we finally had the brightness turned on all the way. But the thing worked. We had it for like 20 years. It would not. I'm like, Lord, will you just kill that lightning, something, because I want a pretty new flat TV like everyone else. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And finally we moved, and I told my wife, I said, look, we're moving halfway across the country. I'm not lugging this big TV. I mean, the thing weighed more than the car. I said, we're going to buy a flat TV wherever we go. But I didn't need that flat TV. This God has provided. But you know how it goes. You know? I like the little blinky light, the little shiny thing. I need it. And how many times have I gotten something and then it loses its shine? My heart was wandering. My heart was desiring. And come to find out, it wasn't what I needed. Contentment, the Bible says. With godliness is great gain. And we live in such a materialistic world of keeping up with the Joneses that so many families now are caught up, and we both have to work to provide for everything that we need. You know what? If we cut down and focused on what was important, I think this world would be so much better. Of things of true value. You know, I'd love it if we lived in a society where one parent could stay home. You know, I listen to the politicians, and for some reason they're like, oh, everyone needs to work, everyone needs to go out there and everything else, and don't worry, we'll take care of our kids. That's a whole different sermon. What is of the value, and what's the importance? And put our priorities in here. And this really gets wrapped up. I think Jesus tells us in Matthew 19, it says, behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? But one's good, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Right? This rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, how do I have to go to heaven? And Jesus says, obey the law. And he said to him, which one? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard what he was saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I love you above everything else. And Jesus says, okay, well, sell your stuff. Okay, Lord, what else you want? Don't take my stuff. I remember years ago hearing a mission rep give a challenge out. He said, the Lord called you right now to the mission field. Could you go? Could you go? If the Lord called you right now, could you go? Well, no, I got this guy to take care of, and I got this guy to take care of, and I got all the, right? Be careful, because some of those things that you're saying I'm hanging on to, maybe you're putting above God. The stuff of this world. The Bible says you can't serve both. Lord, what do you want from me? Let me encourage you in all these things to examine yourself and say, Lord, are you on the throne of my life? Probably one of the biggest pieces of advice I ever give out is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Folks, put God first. Put God first in all your relationships, and everything else will fall into line. Put God first in your material things. All your future and all those, lay it down and say, God, you first, and I will follow you. And the peace and joy that we can have in the midst of that is stuff that lasts. Lord, help me do things for eternity. Help me lay up my treasures in heaven. What are the most things I value? Years ago, an old professor looked at us young guys in Bible school and said, you guys don't get it. He goes, when you get about my age, he goes, you get to a point where you know more people in heaven than you do on earth, and your heart desires to go there. Now, I'm not quite as old as he was. I'm catching up, though. But can I tell you something? My heart is longing for home more and more. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of tired of here. It's a good place to visit. But Lord, I'm ready to go home. Until then, Lord, help me be faithful. Help me keep my eyes on the prize, which is Him. And Lord, help me worship You. And You have that throne in my life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. It really pierces, challenges us. Lord, it's so easy for the things of this world to creep itself in, Lord, to take its priorities in our lives, in our desires, in our love. But Lord, I pray You peel these things away. Lord, help me love You above all else. Help me seek You and Your will above all else. And Lord, You put all these other things in order in my life. Lord, help me to love You more. We ask this in Your name. Amen. As you please stand and sing, we're going to sing, I Will Serve Thee Because I Love Thee.